Okay, the topic of this week's parsha is Hafrashas Challah. Interesting mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. We're used to thinking of it the woman's mitzvah. Really, the mitzvah belongs to the owner of the dough, which is the Baal HaBayis. But the Gemara already says that Chazal put this mitzvah on the woman. The simplest understanding is because she's Motzi B'Bayis and therefore she's one who's going to be dealing with it. So we assume automatically that she has permission from her husband to do so. The Mishnah Berurah does mention a second idea, which is found in a Medrash, that she was the one who caused Adam to eat from the Eitz HaDaas and therefore introduce what would be Misal Olam. So Chazal say Loshon of she destroyed the challah of the world. If you picture though, the same way you take flour and you make it into a dough, Kadosh Baruch Hu took the earth and made it into this dough and made Adam Rishon out of it. He's the challah, he's the freshest challah of the world. So she destroyed the freshest challah of the world, so she's going to bring back the challah into the world. So that's why the mitzvah seems to be placed beaker on the woman, but it's not really the woman's mitzvah per se. Baruch Hashem, I went to bake matzah, so I've been able to do a freshest challah there. So that's nice. Okay, the mitzvah say in the Torah to be mafresh challah. There's a separate issur in the Torah that as long as you do not take off challah, the dough is going to be yasur to eat, or the bread which will be baked from will be yasur to eat. It's tevel. Take off the challah. Something which would be chayim and challah of the rice, so that tevel would be nisit the rice. The person who would eat it would be chayim misim de shemayim. So it's not from the most savory thing to do. The reason why it's called challah, why do we call it challah? The Torah already uses the word challah. It's referring to that piece that you give to the kohen. So you give him this small cake or whatever it is, bread. That's the challah they're referring to. The chi of the raisa for chi of challah is only in Eretz Yisrael, when the majority of Klai Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, but nowadays the chiyuv is only Rabbanan. Besides the chiyuv of the Rabbanan, which they put in Eretz Yisrael, they put a chiyuv in Chutz La'aretz, which the reason why they introduced that chiyuv is in order that we shouldn't forget the concept of challah. So then we'll go back, Mashiach will come, we'll go back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have the majority of Klai Yisrael there, Rabbi Chaim and Challah, we're familiar with the concept of challah.
Do you have the majority of Klai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael today?
Are
we getting closer?
No, we're not. The assumption right now is that the majority is not. Since this chiyuv of challah is chal chutz la'aretz, is a double rabbanon. It's a very low. Chazal put a certain kulas into it in chal chutz la'aretz. So we'll be focusing mostly on chal chutz la'aretz because that's where we're found. So what do you do with challah? So challah is supposed to be given to the kohen. Now the law is if the challah is tamei or if the kohen is tamei. On a challah the rice, you can't eat it. In challah's chutz la'aretz, we permit it to mayim who do not have a tumah which came out of their bodies. If a person have keri or zob, those type of things, mitzara, those would be tumas which would not allow the kohen to eat. The fact that he came tamei of the tumas mayis or something of that sort would not preclude him from eating challah's chutz la'aretz. So the question is, our meaning is, if we do give it to the kohen, you give it to the kohen under the age of 9 years old, because we assume under the age of 9 years old, he doesn't have any tumah yet to megufay. And the kohen, when he eats it, actually makes a bracha, a shirki d'shadu, b'kdushasa shal aron, b'tzivano lechol truma. So we say, get that bracha again. That's it, relevant for eating truma, eating the kabbonis. There's a bracha for eating kabbonis, a shirki d'shadu, which is eating Kabbalas which are given specifically to the kohen, and shekhet zonim because of Aaron, and tzivano al achilas zevach, lechol zevach, right? There's a bracha like that. Our minhag is not to give to the kohen. The assumption being we don't really who vadi is a kohen, and therefore there's no chiyuv to give, and therefore our minhag is not to give. The Gra supposedly when he found the kohen miyuchas, he would give his challah to him. Again, under the age of 9. So what do we do with challah? So now we don't give it to the kohen anymore, so we burn it. That being said, there is a shear how much to take off of chal. You learn the Mishnah, there's a shear how much the person has to take off. Since we're going to burn it, we don't follow that shear. We don't take off such a large amount just to burn it. If we be giving to the kohen, there's a shear how much you have to take off. You have to take off 1/48, 1/24, depending on the situation. So how much you have to take off? The minute you take off a kazayas, that's the amount that you take off. The din of chal only applies to dough which is made for the purpose of going, that's going to be made into a bread-like, a bread or a bread-like type of concoction. So if it's a dough as opposed to a batter. Batter is not chayv in chal. However, if you take a batter-like thing and you bake it in such a way that it becomes bread-like, like, you know, you take a batter and make a cake, it ends up looking fairly similar to bread, that will be chayv. Because through the baking process, so there normally the moment of afrosha is it starts when you made it into a dough. Over there, you would not do afrosha until you actually baked it, until you made it into the cake. If a person made a dough which he planned to bake, and then he decided to boil it, so that's still chayiv. If a person made a dough which he planned to boil, is that's a machloikas. So that's the question which comes up in regards to the status of donuts. Donuts is a dough. I mean, you can make donuts from batter also, but there are donuts that are made from a dough. They're yeast donuts, they're made from a dough, but you boil them. So that process of putting into a deep frying in halacha is the same thing as bishul. Why is that important? That machlokes besides what to do with a fresh schal is such a situation if you make a large amount of donuts, but it's also relevant in regards to the status of what bracha you make on it. The halacha just connects the two. I don't want to get involved in that right now, but that's so. This machlokes plays itself out in Hillel's brachas. If you make a dough without any water in it, that the Shulchan Aruch passes in that case is chayiv, but the minhag is we're mafresh without a bracha. But b'chatchila, we do not want to make a dough which is a full size of a shir chalo just with mei peiros, because if there's no water in it, it's not makabel tuma. So the kohen has told me he can't be eating it, but you can't burn it because it's Torah. So you have to stuck with what to do with the challah. So we don't want to get involved in the situation. We try and avoid that. Okay, how much?
But why does it matter today if the kohen's not eating it anyway?
But you can't burn it.
I can't burn it.
So you're left with, you can't do anything with it. You're not to burn. Challah, which is Torah, you can't burn. And so you have no eitzah for it. So we try to avoid that situation. So how much dough is, or how much flour is the amount which a person would have to make this concoction, his dough or his batter, to be chayiv in hafrashas challah? So the halacha says the shear is mem gimel beya v'chamish beya. It's 43 and 1/5 the size of eggs. So the gematria of the word challah is 43, right? And you have the hay at the end over there, which represents the idea of also, it's a chemish, it's a fifth. So you have all merubas in the word. In modern terms, translating that amount into modern terms, it's obviously going to be challenging, it's going to be machlokes. And therefore, the basic answer which we give is once you hit a certain amount, you have to take off challah, but you're not going to make a bracha because you're not sure that that's enough. Until you hit a certain amount, which you say, you know, there's no question that you now definitely have enough flour that you be chayiv in the midst of rosh challah. So how much is the amount which the minimal amount a person has to use to say that he should be mafresh challah? So according to the Chazon Ish, that's 2.6 pounds of flour. So basically you have a 5-pound bag of flour, it'd be half of your bag, or a little bit more than half of the bag. The amount that you need to say definitely you should be mafresh, that therefore you'll make a bracha, according to Chazon Ish, is 4.96 pounds, basically a 5-pound bag of flour. So you take a, you would take a full 5 pound bag of flour, and you make it into a dough. You would be mafresh challah with a bracha. Now I just want to point out the even though we're giving measurements in weight, the correct measurements really actually are halachas in volume, not in weight. It's easier to say, well, if you use this amount, the size of, if you take a box, which is the size of 5 inches by 5 inches by 5 inches, you know, that's not very useful for us. When you translate into the world of kilograms and cc's, and then you could actually, and then liters, so since they convert one from the other very easily, you could actually work. I can tell you the sizes and they work, but using the American system, it's more complicated. Okay, so I'm making multiple doughs. I want to know, each one is small. Do they combine together to say every shear challah or not? So you can combine together multiple doughs together and say that they're going to be chayiv with the following conditions. That we have two options of how they can connect together. One is if the doughs touch each other and they're tight enough that when you pull them apart, you're going to leave a little bit from one on the other. So, if you pull apart, some of what's on the left side will remain with the right side, or vice versa. You can put inside of a kli, or you can cover it over with a mappa. That's the most common thing that people use. They put a large cloth over everything, and that's when they start it together. But they should be touching. They don't have to be touching to the point that they're going to pull rip from each other. The more first that is, they're biting from each other. No sheikh. You don't need no shkos in that situation, but you do need they should be touching. Okay. It's only mitzvah if I don't mind that they should mix. In other words, if I have my whole wheat and my regular wheat, then I'm a very purist. So I don't want the whole wheat to absorb any of the wheat, regular wheat, or I have spelt, but I don't want to mix with the wheat or something like that. Then they're not mitzvah, even though they're being the same kli together. Even though they're touching, they're not going to be mitzvah because I'm not sure that they should remain distinct.
Does that come up? Household?
Usually my wife makes it, she makes each one large enough this year that they have their own shear. Yeah. If a person made a dough, which was a shear challah, with intent to then afterwards divide it out amongst multiple people. So he said that the shear challah is on the owner, so each person only owns less than a shear. So when is that going to be chayiv and when is that not going to be chayiv? If a person makes doughs with intent to divide it up as when there's still dough. So a common case, a woman, the lady's taking, doing a project with her class, and she'll make a large amount of challah, and she'll give each girl a certain amount of dough, and they'll roll up, make their own challah, whatever it is, and doing a project together. So if the intent is to take this and divide it amongst the individuals, when it's still a dough, it's not chayav and challah. I had a child about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Somebody asked me this question. If you plan to divide it amongst people after it's been baked already, then it is chayav and challah. Why? Because when it became dough, when it became baked, it still belongs to one individual. The fact that afterwards I want to do something with it, you know, usually the mission is a baker's guy. Why is a baker's guy? By definition, a baker is going to always be dividing it out. He says, because the baker says to himself, worst comes to worst, I'll take it home. You know.
So like a store that's baking baked goods, you have to take?
Yes, a store takes it, take it home. Let's say a person makes a large dough with intent to bite up in the smaller ones and then put them away in the freezer and then use them over a period of time. That would be chayav and chal at that point in time. You would be mafresh it then. As you make this large dough, you would be mafresh from them. And now they're all masukin and ready to go. Common question which comes up, and that's a common. So now you've made the dough, you've chiyuv to take it off. So you make the bracha of sheir kedushanu b'tzav b'tzivanu lahafresh. Actually, the nusach for Sardim is the hafresh truma. The Shulchan Aruch says you brought the bracha is the hafresh truma. We say the hafresh challah. You make the bracha, you take some of it off, and then you say harezu challah. You designate this as challah, or you can actually think harezu challah, and that's sufficient. So that becomes the challah, and you now have accomplish that. What do you do with it? So we should. You can burn it. Now the question is, can you burn it in the oven at the same time? Let's say you want to stick it in the oven and have it burn same time as you're baking your the rest of the dough. It's usher to eat everything else. I mean, that was mutter to eat. So you should not do it together with the in the oven at the same time as the challah. We're afraid it might get mixed into the challah, or it's a bad word, mixed into the bread that you're going to be eating. Okay.
What if you do something to designate it? You wrap it up, whereas the other ones aren't wrapped up.
If it's wrapped up, so there is a question: are we concerned about the zeya which comes out of it affecting everything else? So there are some places which are worried about zeya, which is a chiddush to me that worry about zeya in that situation. But since that, therefore, they would say, you know, unless it would be totally closed, really, you could. A question which I've gotten more than once is: a person by mistake, you know, designated the challah, and then it got mixed back into the dough. So now you can't eat any of the dough because there's challah in there. The challah makes everything else else to eat. Challah is bottle. The shear for bittel, however, is very large. It's a ratio of 100 to 1. So if you have 100 times your dough compared to your hafrasha, so that would be mevatel it, and now you're ready to go. But assuming that that's not the situation, so you can't eat any of this whole large dough because there's something in here which is also.
Sorry, so, Rebbe.
Yeah.
So what's the ratio of a kazayas? Take
a kazayas, yeah.
So what's that ratio of the 5 pounds for kazayas?
How many kazayas are in five pounds? Is that your question? I've never calculated out that amount, that number. That would be an interesting question to figure out. But it's not 100 to 1. That's, you know, my guess is it's probably in the area. See, it's hard to, because the dough rises, and it's a volume issue. So even if I could calculate it based on the amount of flour immediately when you first make the dough, you'd have to then adjust it for the larger amounts. But I could do the math for, give me a few minutes to work out the math for the flour as is, but no, I could do it nominal this year. Okay, so one thing a person can do if they have not eaten from the dough yet, or they have not given to the kohen yet, so you can be matur neder, you can be shoyel on the hafrasha. So everything reverts back to being tevel, then you do no hafrasha. So that's what I told the person to do. Not everybody agrees to this, but that we pass it, that is acceptable. Normally hafrasha. Normally the act of Hatoris Adorim Shela needs a Pesach or a Charotah. The Ramos says we don't need a Pesach or a Charotah over here. This itself is enough to allow us to do that. If a person forgot to take off Challah when it was a dough, a person can still take off Challah after it's baked. Let's say a person forgot to take off Challah and it comes Shabbos. So Shabbos you cannot take off Challah. So you can't eat the bread. The bread is baked. He hasn't taken off any Challah. So what does he do? So in Chal is Chutz La'aretz, only Chutz La'aretz, doesn't work in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal made another kula that they're going to allow you to eat from the bread, and then after Shabbos you'll take off the Chal. So that does not work in Eretz Yisrael.
And you'll burn it at that point.
And then afterwards, after Shabbos, you'll take it off and burn it. Another scenario where we take off we do the Chatzkila, we take off the Chal after it's baked is by matzah. We don't want this dough sitting over here. We're not going to put it in the oven together with the other matzahs and have it after the other matzahs. So we need to burn it. So we much rather burn it. Once it's a matzah, it's not going to after the other matzahs. That's not absorbing flavor one to the other. You don't want it sitting around till the end of the day. This dough sitting over here will become chametz. So our minig is to bake all of the matzahs, and then after all the matzahs, you put them in together, you know, in a large basket, whatever it is, and you take off Rosh Hashanah, take off a matzah, or you know, part of a matzah as the challah, and then you just throw it into the fire inside. There's a nice fire available usually over there in matzah bakeries, and just throw it into the fire, and that's where you're able to deal with the. So some people have a nusach of the bracha, the hafresh challah min ha'isa, not just lahafrish dala, but in that situation, since you're being mafrish it after it's baked already, you'd only say lahafrish dala. The Iker Bracha is actually lahafrish dala all the time. But if some people have a minute, they say lahafrish dala min isa. I'm trying to remember, there was a similar issue. I'm not remembering right now. So that's the way we deal with it. Fine. Okay. We don't have a minion yet. Just one quick thought is Chala is the mon. That's the mon which you know we in the midbar you have mon. There was no different fresh Chala from the mon. It was only that which you grow in Eretz Yisrael. One of the first mitzvahs they're told about is you go in there, so you're going to eat. You're going to eat from the Avura Oritz, and you're going to Yimar Freshkala. So some of the first, in other words, in the Midbar, as it were, Klaisa was the Kayan, eating the Mon. You go in there, Yisrael, now you've taken over the responsibility the Bershams, as it were, was giving to us. You and I are going to become like so he's the owner, and he's giving to us, we're the Kayan. We're going to be the owner. And we have a shatzal to give to the Kohen, give back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the change is significant, and that's why one Medrash says that the whole world was created for the purpose of giving challah. So that sounds like pretty intense. Hafreshes challah is a nice mitzvah, but that's the mitzvah. So that's how, that would be one explanation. Okay.